Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. We would like to acknowledge that the land which we are gathered on today is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe Nation, specifically the Chippewa Tri-Council, comprised of the Chippewas of Beausoleil, Rama, and Georgina Island First Nations, and more recently, the Mississaugas of the Credit River First Nation. Ontario is covered by 46 treaties and other agreements and is home to many Indigenous nations from across Turtle Island, including the Inuit and the Métis. These treaties and other agreements, including the One Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, are agreements to peaceably share and care for the land and its resources. Other Indigenous nations, Europeans, and newcomers were invited into this covenant in the spirit of respect, peace, and friendship. Most of us have come here as settlers, immigrants, or newcomers in this generation or generations past. We are all treaty people. Every day, we are mindful of broken covenants, and we strive to make this right. We commit to collaborating based on the foundational assumption that Indigenous peoples have their power, strength, and competency to develop culturally specific strategies for their communities. We are dedicated to honoring Indigenous self-determination, history, and culture, and are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect with all First Nation, Métis, and Inuit people. I'm Linda Meeks. I'm one of the education facilitators at the North Simcoe Muskoka Hospice Palliative Care Network, and I'm so happy to welcome today some of our team from Hospice Orillia. So welcome Stephanie Collins, who is a community social worker, Louise Brager, who is our bereavement coordinator, and Daniela Accomando, who's the volunteer coordinator, community social worker, and welcome to the podcast today, ladies. Today, we're going to be having a conversation about the importance of volunteering. So thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thanks so much for having us, Linda. I really appreciate the opportunity for us to really speak to the importance of volunteering. It's something very near and dear to my heart as the volunteer coordinator. And I did want to kind of start by sharing that we kind of will be talking or making reference to the article or the paper throughout our conversation today. So I wanted to highlight that the paper is called Volunteers in Palliative Care Make a Difference by Katrin, I'm going to mispronounce this name, and Jos MGA Schools. So it was an article that was published in the Journal of Palliative Care in 2009, and it presents the experiences of families of terminally ill patients with volunteer support. So it addresses the impact that volunteers had from the perspective of the family, of their caregivers, of the family caregivers, 6 to 12 months after the terminally ill patient had died. So we encourage anyone who listens to this to also give the article a read.
Right. Thanks, Daniela. So Daniela, you mentioned earlier that volunteering is near and dear to your heart. And obviously you've done a good choice in choosing your work after you finish school, because obviously you're the volunteer coordinator at Hospice Orillia. Can you share with us how volunteers are involved in hospice palliative care?
Of course. So I always say this, but volunteers are the backbone of our organization, us for sure, and generally speaking in hospice palliative care. So in Ontario, hospice palliative care is provided absolutely no cost to the individuals receiving it. And even though most places are partially funded, so similar to like Hospice Orillia is partially funded for our services, we rely heavily on volunteers to provide a huge chunk of our programming to the community. So our volunteers are incredible people. They provide emotional, social, spiritual support through friendly visits in person. We started introducing more virtual programming once COVID kind of entered the world. So we also have phone support, and we support on the visiting side of things and bereavement as well. So they do a lot for us.
Right. So just to clarify, Daniela, as the coordinator, the volunteer coordinator, do you coordinate the volunteers for the visiting and bereavement program? Is that you?
Yes. So any volunteer that supports Hospice Orillia, it's not just myself. I do a chunk of the work, but Stephanie and Louise definitely also interact with the volunteers. They are involved in initiating some matches between a client and a volunteer. So I take on a lot of the work, but it's not just me. Stephanie and Louise definitely have a huge hand in it too.
Okay, thank you. So Stephanie, then the next question I have is, can you tell me more about how there's support for clients in each program?
For sure. Hospice Aurelia offers many different services in the community, meaning there's many different volunteer opportunities available in both the visiting and bereavement programs. In the visiting program, the individuals our volunteers support can be someone navigating a progressive life-threatening illness or their circle of support, caregivers, friends, family members, etc. And we have a few different opportunities on the visiting side of things. So the first is our visiting volunteers, and they provide friendly visiting services to individuals living with progressive life-threatening illness who have a prognosis of about less than a year. And these volunteers do a huge variety of activities with clients, such as chatting over a cup of tea, playing a board game, going for short walks, reading with or to the client, completing art projects, among many other things. It's really all about what the person receiving the support is interested in and wants to do with their volunteer. The main limitations of this service are the volunteer is not trained in any type of food preparation, medical care, or personal care, isn't able to assist with anything to do with medication. This program also, not only does it provide benefit to the person receiving service, but it can also benefit the caregiver by giving them a chance to take a break, go do other tasks, and knowing that someone is there with their loved one. The article states that when volunteers take over caregiving tasks, they enable family caregivers to rest, renew their energy, and continue providing care for as long as possible. So our goal is to support that at Hospice Aurelia to allow families and individuals to complete whatever their goals of care look like. The next one is our complementary therapy program. And through this, our volunteers provide Reiki support to individuals who have progressive life-threatening illness. And the aim of this program is to provide rest and relaxation. Our volunteers are trained in Reiki outside of Hospice Aurelia, and then they come and complete all of our training as well. And they can provide up to 6 sessions per client, and sessions are usually about an hour each. In our Footprints Project program, volunteers support the individual with progressive life-threatening illness and completing legacy work. And so this program can have the volunteer doing a couple different things depending on what the client is interested in. The first is letter and card writing. Some clients like to write letters to friends or loved ones for after they die or for the future, for milestones such as a child's wedding, a granddaughter graduating high school. It looks all different ways for each person. The volunteer can physically help to write the letter if the person's not able to do so themselves, or just be there as an emotional support and help with wording and things like that. The second option is scrapbooking. So Hospice Aurelia provides all of the supplies, the scrapbook, the paper, stickers, the paper cutter, everything that they'll need to create the scrapbook. The client just needs to provide their own photos. And similar to the letter writing, the volunteer can physically do the cutting and pasting for the client, or just be there as an emotional support or give advice on design, things like that. And when we know what a client is interested in, we try to purchase items that will make the scrapbook really tailored to them. So for example, if they, you know, are going to focus a lot on their beach vacations, we'll go buy stickers that have beach theme to them. The final option is our life storybook, and this is the most popular of our legacy projects. So in this project, the volunteer acts kind of like a reporter and asks client a list of questions about their childhood, adult life, family, favorite memories, and life lessons. And this is all recorded on an audio recorder and then transcribed into an autobiography of the client. So we design it at Hospice Aurelia and then have it professionally printed. And this program was started in 2019 And all of the volunteers who are involved in this program absolutely love being a part of it. It's just, it's very, very rewarding. And the final way volunteers can help in the visiting side is they can provide direct support to caregivers through our Caregiver Connections program. And this program is for caregivers whose loved one has been given a prognosis of less than 1 year. And it's provided over the phone. So volunteers phone clients once per week to provide caregivers a safe space to talk about what they're going through, or they don't have to talk about what's going on at all, and they can just be a friendly social support. So as you can see, there's lots of things going on, lots of different ways to help.
I'm always amazed when I catch up with the three of you about the opportunities that you provide. And I'm always thinking, gee, I'd like to do that myself. So even you mentioned the most favorite project was the storybook. Is it actually, does it, when it's finished, does it look like a children's storybook format, or does it look like a formal book, or what does it look like?
Yeah, so we design it based on the person's interests. So for example, if they're really interested in hiking in nature, the whole background of the book will be of trees or a hiking trail. And it ends up looking like their autobiography. We put a big picture of the person on the front. It, depending on what the person wants, it can be written in their own words or it can be written about them, but it really does look like their autobiography.
Oh, that's so amazing. Thought for HPCO next year. Okay, so Louise, can you tell me more about the services in the bereavement program and how that program supports clients?
Yeah, no problem, Linda. So in the bereavement program, our volunteers support individuals who have experienced a loss or who are anticipating a loss. Our volunteers support clients either through one-on-one peer support sessions. And then we have lots of different groups that run depending on demand. So we have an 8-week closed group. We have a transitions group that meets monthly for people who have been through the 8-week group and would still like to connect with maybe those people that they had formed bonds with in their group. Then we also have some specialty groups. We have pregnancy and infant loss. We have an overdose related loss group, and we have an adult child loss group. And then another area that the volunteers can be involved in is at our semi-annual memorial events. So we host one in the summer and one in the winter. And we like to include volunteers and staff and community members alike at that. So usually they would have a speaking role at those events.
So obviously, Louise, you're the trained professional in grief and bereavement. So are the volunteers, do they take an extra special program? Do you do train the trainer type of thing with them, or what sort of things do you do to get them ready to support?
So on top of all the HPCO training and the modules that they have to go through, and then all our processes for onboarding them at Hospice Aurelia, they would do a more in-depth like bereavement 101 training. We would make sure that they are suitable to support people, that they have the most important skill for bereavement, which really is listening. So we would get them to take part in that course and reflect on their own grief and see how they carry themselves and how they can support other people. And then professional development is offered to them whenever we have the opportunity to pass it along. We always pass it along to the volunteers, and they're always super keen to get involved with whatever courses we have coming up, whether it be mental health first aid, or we're fortunate enough, our hospice, to have a scholarship fund, a memorial fund from somebody who really believed in professional development and education. So that fund is specifically for volunteers. So sometimes they get to go to the bigger conferences with us.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I know that the team, you and Daniela and Stephanie, have also done some training for the education facilitators and the nurse consultants at the network. So that's fantastic. And it really sounds like Hospice Aurelia is striving to support as many people as possible in as many means as possible. So that's fantastic. And Stephanie, can you share, generally speaking, why are volunteers involved in hospice palliative care?
Yeah, so the article that we reviewed states that generally family members are eager to give and find caregiving satisfying. However, at some point, it may become really too demanding for the caregiver to do by themselves. And so when this happens, volunteers can make a considerable difference. Often there's no social link between unpaid volunteers and the people that they serve, not initially at least, but they still give care, time, attention, and support to the people in this phase of life and to the family members. Many hospices provide similar services to the ones that Louise and I spoke about, but the article does state that other supports might include basic care, keeping watch overnight, light personal care, emotional support, and among many other things. I personally believe that many volunteers become involved because they want to make a difference in their community. Some of our volunteers may have had a family member or friend go through and receive hospice care at some point. They may have a personal reason for doing it, and other people are just interested in supporting people at a time that is really difficult and providing whatever comfort care they can.
Yes, volunteers are really the backbone of our community, no matter what they choose to have an interest in, and they can do so much to aid in comforting and providing people with supports. Louise, why would someone choose not to have a volunteer involved in their journey?
Okay, so as everybody working in this field knows, we live in a very death-phobic society. We don't like to talk about death, dying, and bereavement. It's our one commonality that we will all die, yet we steer clear away from any conversations pertaining to it. Because we don't like to talk about it, oftentimes the services that can support someone at the end of their life are not discussed also. The article shared, if I'd known about their existence, I could have called for the support of volunteers, but then you have to know that they exist. Some family members who often step in and act as caregivers may not be open to it or accepting of help, may view doing so as a failure, and they may not want to accept strangers into their home or care. Volunteers are often called in shortly before death. In many cases, they are not called at all. There seem to be several obstacles preventing people who need volunteers from calling upon them. One is the uncertainty of the situation. No one can predict the precise duration of the last phase of life and therefore anticipate what additional care will be needed. The article shared a quote from a partner which said, "Honestly, I should have called in the support of volunteers earlier, but what is the right moment? How long can I manage and how long will this last? If we'd called in volunteer support a week earlier, it would have been easier for me."
So I just have another question, Louise. So how do the people who have access or should have access to Hospice Aurelia, how do they find out about Hospice Aurelia, and how do the referrals come to you?
I'll speak to how they come to me in bereavement, and maybe Steph or Daniela can step in for visiting because it is slightly different. So for me, people can self-refer in, which I do get lots of self-referrals. I get lots from community partners as well, other agencies and family physicians, and Aurelia itself being a fairly small community, people seem to know that we do exist. So like I say, people can self-refer in, and that's absolutely fine. Word of mouth. We have like a pretty robust social media campaign getting the word out there about our services too. So people tend to know about us through other people, and then that's how they approach us.
Okay, great. So Stephanie, the next two questions I'm going to have for you. So the first one is, could you specifically tell the audience how you receive your referrals and for what type of clients, and if you actually have to then forward on to a volunteer? And the second is, what are the benefits to having a volunteer involved in care?
For sure. We actually get the majority of our referrals from other healthcare providers. We sometimes get people who are self-referring, but for the most part, it's because someone else has become involved with them and recognizes the need for our support or volunteer support, and then makes the connection there. And the benefits to having a volunteer, there are so many, and it can look so many different ways depending on the person and how they want to receive the support. But the article talks about a couple different things. One is a break for caregivers. Another is to help honor the client's wishes of staying at home. There's a direct quote from the article that says, "My husband wanted to stay at home until he died, and thanks to the support of volunteers, this was possible." So that's pretty powerful that the person was able to do what they really wanted to because of the support of the volunteers that they received. The article states that volunteers give practical support by being with and taking care of the person during the day or night, affording family caregivers the opportunity to unwind, sleep well, possibly renew their energy. Volunteers can also give aspects of emotional support by talking about topics that are important to the client and their families, making them feel understood, and maybe helping them to prepare for what's coming next. The article also does talk about the benefits from the viewpoint of the family caregivers. So I'm just going to go through them. I should note that many of these are not options specifically at Hospice Aurelia. This is just from the article, but they may be available at other places. So one of the big ones is giving time and attention to the patient, keeping watch at night, giving time and attention to the family member of the patient, supporting physical care, supporting and coaching family members in coping with the dying process, as well as the patient in coping with the dying process, advising and providing information for the patient and the family members, making painful issues a subject of discussion, light household chores, going shopping, heavy household chores. The family caregivers stated that emotional support volunteers, the most important aspects were that they had empathy. They gave the feeling that you were not on your own. They gave the opportunity to get one's breath back, and they really listened. Whereas practical support volunteers made caregivers better able to manage their care. They showed up when they were needed. And overall, the article stated that 59% of family caregivers stated that without volunteer support, the patient could not have stayed at home for as long as they did.
Right. So just to clarify, when you mentioned that that was from the article, Hospice Aurelia mainly provides support in the areas of emotional support for the family and the caregivers, correct?
Yes, we focus on emotional and social support. We don't have any, not so much of the practical support, some of the things that were mentioned in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Stephanie. And Daniela, Aurelia is very lucky to have two hospices that serve locally. So Hospice Aurelia and then Mariposa House Hospice. Can you share the volunteer opportunities in a residential versus community hospice? And for the participants in the podcast today, noting that Hospice Aurelia is the visiting hospice and Mariposa House Hospice is the residential hospice in Aurelia.
Yeah, of course. And thank you for giving the opportunity to share this, because I feel that this is kind of still a confusing area of how we are different, but how we also support the community in similar ways. So as you mentioned, where the three of us work at Hospice Aurelia, we are the community hospice for Aurelian area. So we serve a huge service boundary, or our service boundaries are huge, I should say. So community hospice means that we meet clients where they're at in their home. So home can look like their own apartment. It could be a retirement residence. It could be a long-term care home. We could even follow into hospital. Whereas, as you mentioned, Mariposa House is the residential hospice. So that's what you typically think of when you think hospice. They're a 5-bed facility. They have PSWs and nurses that provide around-the-clock care. So we can also follow through to support them there. We have a really great partnership for volunteering, where essentially if you get trained in either organization, you can support both very fluidly. So generally speaking, clients get involved with us around the last year of their journey. We're lucky to be involved early on and can spend quality time with these clients, getting to know them, building relationships, doing important work like our legacy project early on. Though it's not always the case. So as Louise kind of previously mentioned, some reasons why someone would be hesitant could be they're kind of hesitant to accept help. They really want to focus on family, or even things progress really, really quickly. So it's really unique to each person. Stephanie mentioned all the programs that we offer and how volunteers support those programs. But essentially, other than our supportive counseling services, everything is run by a volunteer. The overall goal is inviting the volunteer into the house for them to meet, as we talked about, a social need. So they could play games, they could talk to, they could just chat. If the volunteer and client are able, they can go for a walk. What's some other things that we've done? The scrapbooking is huge, something artsy and crafts, so doing some crafts. And then the emotional side of holding space to discuss, you know, what's going on, hearing those stories, that legacy work, meeting some sort of a spiritual need. So Hospice Aurelia, like I said, focuses on, we have a little bit more runway, so we can facilitate some relationships. Once they get over to Mariposa House, similarly, some of these things can apply, so they can still have that social visit. They could still, you know, if they're up to it, they could still read with one another or sit there and just have some company and watching a show or something along those lines. But typically once they get over to Mariposa House, their priorities kind of shift. And so we can still be involved, but it's quite oftentimes that time is kind of refocused to focus on family. So we can still support, but it's not always the goal of the client at that point.
And Hospice Aurelia, being a community hospice, also allows for the unique opportunity to follow clients along their journey through their grief and bereavement. Folks can experience continuity of care by accessing these supports at any point in their grief journey, and they can attend any of the supports that we have available. It's also important to note that it's not a requirement to be involved with Hospice Aurelia while the individual is not well, and anyone can access grief and bereavement supports.
So Daniela kind of mentioned a little bit about Mariposa House Hospice, but I just wanted to reiterate that that's the residential hospice in the area. So this is really focused on folks who are facing the last couple weeks of life. They can go and receive comfort care from the team there. It's, you know, nurses, PSWs, volunteers, among many other supports that are available. It's a beautiful, beautiful setting, very home-like, has 5 beds, kitchen, family dining area, among other comforting amenities. And the volunteer opportunities that are available there include, but are not limited to, administration and reception, kitchen, gardening and maintenance, providing music, among many others. And so as Daniela mentioned, when requested, our volunteers are able to continue seeing the individuals they've seen in the community once they've gone into Mariposa House, but oftentimes they don't follow them through just because of the priorities of the client.
Thanks, Stephanie. And I also wanted to share another opportunity for volunteering that we haven't really talked about yet. So some folks want to give back, but might not be ready to do so in a client-facing way. So we have our administrative volunteer position. It doesn't necessarily capture all that these volunteers do, but they are extremely important to supporting everything that we do. So they are involved in our fundraising activities, like our Hike for Hospice, so we can continue to provide support to the community. They can act as an ambassador for Hospice Aurelia, so they can attend farmers markets, pop-ups, you know, different events that we have, really with the goal of spreading the word so that more people know about what we do. As the article kind of talked about, part of the problem is that folks don't know what's available. So that would be a huge barrier to access. If you don't know what's there, you can't access it. So these kind of events are there to spread the word about how we can support. Also, we hold events like our, as Louise mentioned, our memorial events, so they can be involved in that. And in terms of the kind of admin type volunteer and the roles that they play, they do have a role at Mariposa House as well. So similarly in fundraising, they can sit at reception. It's kind of a very universal position, but one that's extremely important.
Oh, that's fantastic. They do so much work, and you've actually reminded me of just how much work they do, even though, you know, I work in this realm every day. So thank you for giving us a look into what the experience of a volunteer may look like and how volunteering supports the community in so many ways. It's really great that there are opportunities for volunteers to provide the support in so many different ways, such as direct service versus organizational support. And Daniela, what kind of training do volunteers have to complete before they start seeing clients? I know Louise touched on that, but maybe you could maybe just add a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. So it's really important for us that the volunteers feel confident to support a client before they ever step foot in a home or face a client. So we have created a very thorough training. And as I mentioned, we have a partnership with Mariposa House to collaborate on training volunteers. So we recognize that there are these two amazing organizations doing very similar work to support the community. So this collaboration just allows us to do so a little bit more fluidly. So the training starts, they would attend our information session. So it's an hour Zoom meeting. They learn about all that we as in both of our organizations, all that we do to support the community, all of the areas that they might lend a hand in. And then they can kind of choose kind of where they feel that their unique skills and abilities would fit best. So once they attend that information session, then they would submit an application. We do an interview just again to have some more one-on-one time to get to know them, because that information session is really just kind of like, here's all of our information, do with it what you will. So this is kind of our opportunity to start building that relationship and get to know them a little bit. And then once they do the interview, we would start with the training if we felt that they were a good fit. So the training is part virtual, part in person. So the virtual piece or the kind of online piece is an at your own pace type of deal. So it's our HPCO, so Hospice Palliative Care Ontario, has training modules specifically for volunteers in this area. So it considers and covers many aspects of hospice palliative care. So it talks about cultural considerations, communication, it talks about what the role of a volunteer looks like, caring for the caregiver, grief and bereavement. It really covers a wide range of topics. So that, again, they can feel extremely confident walking into their first visit. The in-person piece is a full day training session. So it is kind of an orientation into our organization. So we talk about, you know, important policies and procedures, emergency preparedness, fire safety, that kind of stuff. Then we talk about the emotional aspect of things as well. So we do, as Louise was mentioning, bereavement 101. So we call it our feelings piece. So learning about holding space, how to navigate your own grief, the importance of listening, and our acronym that we use all the time. We really try and drive that message home in a lot of different ways. So there's many opportunities for education before they ever see a client. And then, as Louise mentioned, once they're onboarded, we have education opportunities for continued development every couple of months. And it's based on the recommendations of actually our volunteers. We do annual check-in interviews, and they let us know what they'd like to see, and we kind of build it from there.
They sound very supported and well-trained, and what a great way to highlight working as a community to support those who need it. So specifically the collaboration between Hospice Aurelia and Mariposa House Hospice. Stephanie, what kind of feedback do clients give about volunteers?
Yeah, so I'll touch on a couple of the different programs in the visiting side of things. Clients who engage in the visiting volunteer service often talk about how supportive the volunteer is and how they end up creating this really nice relationship where they feel really comfortable talking to the volunteer. And they also speak about how, you know, when you're going through an illness, there's many different people coming in and out of the home, a lot of different healthcare workers, and people trying to provide support. And sometimes it can be really nice to have someone come in that doesn't have to ask them about their medical condition or their symptoms or complete any medical procedures, just someone to come there and be with them socially, emotionally, in all the different ways that we talked about before. The caregivers offer feedback that it's comforting to know that their loved one is with someone who has received training in palliative care, so that allows them to feel more comfortable in leaving or just going to a different area of the house to do something for themselves. Clients who engage in the Reiki program often say that the Reiki service gives them such a calm and relaxed feeling. Many say that they're so relaxed that they actually fall asleep during the session. And so many people have said it's like the best sleep of their life after they have Reiki. Clients and caregivers alike also praise the good energy that our Reiki volunteers bring into their home. In fact, many clients wish that there was more sessions available than just the 6, and we wish we could provide more as well. There's just such a high demand for this program. And that also goes for caregivers. We get a lot of caregivers asking, you know, can I have this service as well? And we really wish we could extend it to be able to provide Reiki to the caregivers too. Clients who engage in the legacy programs often talk about how special the experience of creating has been, and how through that program, they were given the opportunity to relive some cherished and sometimes difficult memories from their past, with the goal of being able to leave some of these stories behind. There's so many things that even with family members that we don't know about them. And the questions that we ask during specifically our life storybook can really bring these really special things to the surface that you may have otherwise just never come up in conversation. We've had clients who have been so proud of their life storybooks, specifically because this is something that they feel they could never have completed on their own. For that program, we provide 2 printed copies to the client, but in the couple years this program has running, we have yet to not have someone go and print, you know, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 additional copies because they're so proud and they want to hand it out to all their family and friends. So overall, it's usually amazing feedback about our volunteers.
And Louise, could you comment, please, on the bereavement side of the programs?
Yes, absolutely. It's twofold, really, because I get feedback from the volunteers about what they witness and likewise from the clients. So for the clients, they're looking for this soft place to land and somebody who can just listen and hold space for them. They often share that sometimes it's easier to share with a complete stranger. Even if they have supportive friends and family, they just find some comfort in sharing with a complete stranger. And especially in the groups, I think there's this magic that occurs, this growth that occurs, and a transition that the volunteers get to witness and the clients as well themselves get to witness it in each other and themselves, of going in for that first kind of like awkward session. And then as the weeks go by, the barriers come down, and quite often people will leave those groups as friends. So the feedback is it's very rewarding for the volunteers to be able to witness that. They likely have lived experience of loss themselves. That's generally a good catalyst for people wanting to get involved and share their time in supporting other people, because they know how much it hurt when they lost somebody. So they feel very rewarded and fulfilled being able to see these transitions that occur.
Thank you. And Daniela, what kind of feedback do volunteers give about volunteering and what it means to them?
So it takes an extremely special person to choose to volunteer in hospice. It's absolutely not an easy thing to bear witness to someone's end of life or their grief. Yet somehow every single one of our volunteers share how rewarding of an experience it is to be a volunteer. They often share how much they appreciate the opportunity to give back and to make connections, to learn about someone's life. We had our annual check-in interviews a couple of months ago now, and all of them said, it brings me such joy to just be able to see them smile or relive such a cherished memory, even just for a moment where they can step out of, you know, the situation they're in right now and relive something that makes them happy and brings a smile to their face. So we actually were able to grab a couple of quotes from some of our volunteers. So Dave is a visiting volunteer, and he wanted to share that the time that he spends with his clients and seeing them smile or chuckle gives me pure joy and makes the experience most worthwhile. So volunteers, as Louise was mentioning, can often empathize with the situation the client is in. They might have lived experience, so they are able to show up as a human and really just try and be a light in quite a dark time in someone's life.
And I think the three of you would agree that in any reading that we do, perhaps in our life or in our professional life, you often hear leaders say the way to have a happy day or the way to be happy in your life is to be a volunteer. I'm sure that you would agree. Stephanie, have any studies been done on the impact of volunteers in hospice care?
I completely agree with you with what you just said. And surprisingly, there hasn't been that many studies done on evaluating like the actual viewpoints of how the volunteer impacted the client and families. The article actually states that although others have investigated various aspects of volunteer work in palliative care and established the effectiveness of specific interventions, there's not many other studies that have explored the impact of the volunteer support from a client or family member's perspective. So we feel that many more studies should be conducted as soon as possible, and that would really add to, it would give value to be able to see how the families perceive the impact that they've received.
And Louise, can you tell us more about how the study that we're referencing today was conducted?
Yes, it was conducted through several different methods. This study used focus groups, a survey, individual interviews, and an internet panel, a substantial internet panel actually of 1,700 people. And it was conducted with family members of patients who had died 6 to 12 months prior.
And Daniela, were there differing results from each of those study methods?
There were actually. So the first one was a focus group. So they found that volunteers make the last phase of life less stressful for family caregivers by offering that practical and emotional support. So that was able to be confirmed by the survey. It did highlight that those who received support would have liked to have one final contact with their volunteer. So they were kind of describing that they built a relationship with these people over time, and it was challenging to have their person die and then also not be able to talk to the volunteer or see the volunteer again. So that was highlighted as an opportunity for improvement. The individual interview showed that in the end of life stage, the crucial decision is whether the patient, as they refer to them, can remain at home or not, whether the caregiver needs volunteer support. And the internet panel revealed that in the Netherlands, the general public is aware that volunteers can provide palliative care support, but many don't know how to make those connections and actually get those services initiated, which we would argue that's kind of similar to what we see in Aurelia, that people would be accepting to it, but they just don't know that we have all of these services that are available to support.
So the article sounds like it's a great read, and it sounds like we could all improve in our organizations. We could spend more time on research and those sorts of things to highlight what volunteers actually do and the absolute benefit that they provide. They're so important and impactful in so many ways, not just in our organizations, but in all the organizations and communities. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today, Daniela, Louise, and Stephanie. I always am so impressed with the three of you, the work that you do, your leadership, and also, you know, for being our colleagues, because you certainly bring a different sort of energy to the places that you come, even as a colleague in supporting the nurse consultants and myself and Laura, who are the education facilitators. So I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you do every day. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, Linda.